For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Oliver, newly appointed CEO for the Manhasset Group of Companies. Last year, I had an opportunity to visit Maine and Hopedale with the intent to visit our other three Manhasset communities and the upper Lake Nahoga area to do a presentation and a roadshow, just to kind of get out into the communities and relay to the communities what we're doing, our business lines, and for the community to ask any questions or raise any issues or any suggestions for improvements for some of our business lines, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're servicing our communities. You see the fixed wing Air Labrador coming in through here on a daily basis in the summertime, marine transportation. Our construction entity is doing work. So you kind of wanted to get out of the community and kind of show you and give you a chance to meet some of us and ask those questions. Starting from left to right, we have Philip Earle, President and CEO of Air Labrador. Sitting next to him is Peter Adams, President and CEO of Manhasset Marine. And over here is Adam Brown, Vice President of Operation, who heads up our construction entity. Before I get into the presentation, just like to say a few words around surrounding NGC and some of our business lines and the way we're structured. Back when the Manhasset government was formed, they created four trusts. One of those trusts was called the Labrador Inuit Capital Strategy Trust. They're the trust, basically our board of directors to oversee our operations. And from that, the LICST is separated from the government, so we don't mix business from politics. There is a dotted line, so essentially we're kind of crown court of the Manhasset government. So, you know, we have five trustees on our board. Isabella Payne is one of them, and Christy Shepherd is another one, and you'll... As part of the Labrador Inuit Capital Strategy Trust, it requires that two of our trust members be Manhasset government employees so that there is a voice from the government on the trust. The other three trustees are obviously Natan Oldhead, who's the president of ITK, Clint Davis, who's living in Toronto. He's a vice president of Aboriginal Banking for TD. And we also have Jim Igorovic, who's a retired judge living in St. John's. So you can see we have a rock star board. You know, they're bringing various levels of expertise and knowledge and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, we're very happy to have them as board members for NGC. Getting into some of the business lines, you know, we're really function and structured around transportation. We got the airline, we have the marine transportation, and the helicopter. You know, we're geared to servicing our communities. We're geared for the resource sector. Clearly, we're in an economic time right now that, you know, things are slow on that front, but we're able to, you know, balance with some of the business lines that we have to get through some of those tough times. Some of our other operations that we're into, we have a real estate company. We have properties along the coast of in the Manhasset communities, plus in the Upper Lake Melville. So we have lease space that we can rent out to government agencies, provincial, federal, municipal, Manhasset, and professional services. We also are in the fishing industry. We have half of a shrimp license and quotas attached to that. We also have turbot quotas, crab licenses and quotas as well. So we're effectively in the fishing industry as well. And we're closely with the Manhasset government and the Tongass Fish Producers Co-op on a number of fronts for that. We also have a land development company called Goose Bay Capital Corporation. We have 300 plus acres of land in the Upper Lake Melville area, ready, serviced. Currently we have 26 acres right now, serviceable land that's ready for sale. We also have TSI, Torgate Services Incorporated. They currently do the site services at Voisey's Bay Mine Site. And we also have, Hale. It's kind of a dormant company right now because NASDAQ lost the contract and currently Raytheon is doing that work. So having said that, I'm going to hand the floor over now to Adam Brown and kind of give you an overview of our construction and the capabilities of it.
Thanks, Chris. So Adam Brown, Vice President of Operations, mostly construction. I do a little bit with base camp and the town center as well. And so I worked a long time as a civil engineering and a development engineer in across Canada. So now this presentation was prepared last fall, and I did it last fall, and we're pretty dormant during the winter, so everybody's kind of laid off. So there's not a lot of new action happened. So, but I have updated it slightly, but if you've seen it, apologize. So there, the Alouette building, and you can, you know, it's all built now, but that was a piece we did. We did all the fill, and we built the rock wall. So just one of the three lines we have. So we have heavy civil construction, carpentry, and drilling and blasting. And we work with the ICGs and the five communities in the to produce rock, and we share their, I guess, their quarries. In 2014, we raised the church and leveled the church. And the phase two is the windows and the doors. And if you walk by now, all the windows are now rebuilt from scratch in a traditional heritage construction. So that's, each window has six separate panes, just like it was originally. In a few, when spring comes, we're going to build the doors, all the doors in the building and the exterior doors. So anyways, we hope it improves it and it looks better when we're done. Some of the work we did last year, we did two fairly big projects in Hopedale because there were some leaks in their water system. So we worked for about 2.5 months fixing the leaks, placing water valves, chasing them down. And then we pumped from one lake up to their water supply. And that was actually a really fun project to get involved with. 800 meters of hose and 24-hour shifts. So kind of racing against the clock and racing against winter. And, well, I think we pumped 12 million gallons in winter. But it looks like they'll need a few more repairs this year, too. So when we're fixing it, like, there's a point where we got a massive spider web of leaks and, you know, little pieces here and there. And I think that's the tender for this year will be to try to find those little last little bits. So this is one of our biggest projects. It was in Goose Bay. That's just a load of materials. Essentially, this is what Chris referred to as the town center site with 26 acres for sale. And there's all the manholes in the water and the storm drain material on the right-hand side. And that's something we do. So if there's something comes out on the coast for a new subdivision, we would bid on it. We're bonded. We have WHCC clearance, and we compete in those in that market.
Thank you all very much for coming out. So we came up here in the fall and got tremendous feedback from the ownership of Nanatsi Recruit Companies, and in particular, in my case, the ownership there, Labrador. In the fall, this room was full to capacity. There's lots of people standing there. And as people running your company, I went away feeling really, really good. I went away feeling really, really good because we got good feedback from the ownership on things that we should be doing. I think we were able to answer questions that the ownership had about why the airline does things a particular way, and certainly suggestions on how we could serve the community better. So as a result of that, we wanted to come back as a group, because that's our commitment as part of our social responsibility to the ownership, is to be able to come back and be the face of the company, but to allow you to ask questions of us, take your suggestions to help us better run the company. And I'd like to acknowledge Minister Sean Lyles here from the Tourism and Culture side, because what we do in the airline can help develop tourism and culture in Nunatsiava. The last thing the people in this room need to see is a Twin Otter aircraft, but primarily that is the aircraft that we use to serve your communities, and everybody in this room has been on board one of those airplanes many, many times. It was always a goal of mine in the ownership of the company to take it and make it one of the companies that was owned by the Nunatsiava Group companies. And we did that arrangement in 2012. We have a board of directors that sets the corporate direction and the oversight of the company. I take my direction from that board of directors, and at this present time, we do have a board vacancy from the Nazi group side. Isabella sets on our board there, and James Thorburn, the president and CEO, now replaced by Chris, who is a beneficiary of the land claims. And I must say, as a fellow Labradorian, I'm very happy to have Chris there at the helm, somebody that I can work with as we build your company together. When we work with your government, the Nanatsiavut government, the Newfoundland and Labrador government, and the federal government, we continue to lobby and recommend and suggest to government. One of the things that we recommend to government, and we make a business case for it, is that certainly the airport in name needs to be expanded. And there's all kinds of reasons for that, primarily for safety, the ability to get flights in after dark, to assist us in developing tourism product, and overall have a better transportation network. Where are the benefits for the community? I just named three of them. The other benefit is that today we're operating the Twin Otter aircraft. That aircraft was built in the 70s and 80s. It's being built again for the first time in about 25 years. Nonetheless, it's probably one of the most expensive platforms as an 18-seat aircraft that's operating today. It burns a lot of fuel, so it's not environmentally friendly. Expensive to operate by way of parts for the aircraft. We believe that if Maine had a substantial, sizable airport, it could be a hub airport for some of the other communities. Many of you have traveled to through Nunavik, and if you look at the models that they have in Nunavik, with Pervernatuck being a hub airport, Kujuak, and then feeding it with the Twin Otter, it certainly works. It's a good service. So we share in your government's view, even though there's a separation between government and business, we share in the view that Maine certainly needs more attention to the airport infrastructure. We know that our service is very, very important to the communities. We fly in the freight. We fly in the passengers. We need to be connected to the ownership, to the beneficiaries of the land claims, to know that we're given a good service, because whether that flight comes or whether it doesn't depends, or it matters that you get your mail products, you get your freight, you get your food. And I can tell you that I've got a team that worked well with me to make sure that we get the highest possible level of service to this community and to the other Nunatsiavut communities. We're always conscious of who our ownership is, and that our ownership are also our customers. And not to take a slogan from another major airline, but we know that owners care and we care. And so again, that's why we put a lot of focus on service. As an update for you, you know, our company is doing quite well. You know, we continue to have a substantial market share in Nunatsiavut. We've seen our market share actually double since the Nunatsiavut Group of Companies bought into the company in 2012. And just to put it in numbers for you, in that previous year to the ownership change, we transported 5,400 people to communities within Nunatsiavut. Last year, we transported 12,000 people. So we actually doubled our ridership. And that's, I believe, because the ownership of the company, the beneficiaries, see the airline as being theirs. They want to support it. And I think equally, not to toot our own horn, but we've put a lot of focus on giving service. We've held the line on fares. We still offer a substantial discount to beneficiaries of the land claims. We still have partnerships with organizations such as the one that Peggy works with on the crafts to move things around for artists. So again, it's challenging. The cost of operations continue to go up. We recently saw some impacts from the Newfoundland and Labrador budget that's going to hit us as a business. And naturally, we have to remain profitable to remain in business. But at some particular point in time, some of these charges have to be passed on. But in the last 7 years, to beneficiaries, we have not had a fare increase, nor have we had an increase in our freight. But again, that was a commitment that I made to the majority owners, that if we can increase the ridership, that grows our revenue, our cost doesn't change, and therefore we can hold the line on cost. So again, that's another benefit of being in the aviation business. It's not an easy business to be in, but with a solid board, solid management, with the support of the ownership, we can continue to give a high level of service. So that's it from me.
Again, I'm Peter Adams. I'm the president of Nunatsiavut Marine Incorporated. I am a master mariner, so I have sailed as captain on ships before and so on, and now I've moved ashore and I'm trying to captain companies. Do the best that we can. Within the marine division, there are actually two marine companies within the group of companies. NGC Nunatsiavut Marine Incorporated is a tug and barge company. You see our tug, the Kaliutik, our barge, the Kalagak, over on the right-hand side, and this is the smaller barge, the Sapatak, being loaded with some heavy equipment. It's actually part of an asphalt plant. We've been working with McKeel Marine the last couple of years, which is a larger tug and barge company that operates here in eastern Newfoundland and Labrador, or eastern Canada and the Arctic. And they've actually been managing these assets on our behalf. The Labrador Marine Service, and for those of you who don't see this, it is similar to what we did in November here, but there's some valuable information, and so I'll try to get through this as quick as I can. There are three contracts that exist for the provision of the North Coast Ferry Service. There's the operation of the MV Northern Ranger, which Nunatsiavut Marine has. There's the administration of shore-based operations, and so that's the administering of all of the terminals in each community and Lewisport and Goose Bay. And then there's the freight vessel, which is the MV Astron. That vessel is actually owned and operated by Labrador Marine Incorporated, which is part of the Woodward Group of companies, but they operate under the direction of Nunatsiavut Marine. So we tell them port order that they need to fall under. There's some other sort of guidelines around where they do the work versus where we do the work and these sorts of things. But we work, even though they're a competitor of ours, we try our best to work very closely with them to provide the best service that we possibly can to our customers, to the communities that we serve. The ferry service itself, however, is actually part of the provincial government's ferry system within the province. So we are a contractor that's operating the service on behalf of the provincial government. And so because it's actually their service, they are really the ones that determine the service offering. So they set the rates, they set the schedules, and they set most of the policies, at least the high-level policies that we have around the service. So the NV Northern Ranger, sometimes that elicits negative feelings and so on. Sometimes it elicits positive feelings. There's no doubt that it's an older vessel. It's about 30 years old. She has been worked hard over her life, but in the last number of years, we've worked with the government, the Department of Transportation and Works, and we've done a significant amount of investment in the vessel to improve safety and reliability. So these are just some of the improvements that have been made. The two main engines basically have been new. It says rebuilt there, but essentially what happened was new engine blocks came in, and then they were rebuilt again with all of the moving parts. New cargo crane, new lifeboats, so on and so forth. Within the interior, in the public spaces, all of the seating has received new reclining seats. Trying to take out as much of the old carpet as we possibly can, put some new window dressings up to spruce up the look. And for the service offering, of which we have a little more control over, we've updated our menu, brought in movie rentals, and we've started to operate a bit of a gift shop where we can sell some swag and some smaller Inuit art and so on, so that people can take a memento of their journey. We recognize that we're an essential service to communities here in Nunatsiavut, but we also recognize, not unlike Air Labrador, that we are a gateway to Nunatsiavut, and we see tourism as being a huge economic driver, and there being tremendous potential for tourism here in Nunatsiavut. And we're doing everything that we can to help improve that tourism offering on board so that tourists, when they're coming, there's some amenities and services that they're looking for when they're traveling on a ferry or whatever the case may be. It's not always easy because the provincial government sees us strictly as a service provider to remote communities, but we're continuing to have the discussion with them so that they realize that there is real economic impact that can happen by bringing people from outside of the region onto the ship and into the community spending money. So it creates jobs, it creates some economic impact, and so we continue to work with the Department of Transportation and Works to find opportunities to improve the tourism offering. Some of the more contentious policies that exist is a two pieces of luggage policy. So when people are traveling, we realize that a lot of people, when they travel to Goose Bay, for example, they want to do some shopping, they want to bring a lot of stuff back to the communities because there's not a whole lot of options within the community that they live. However, the two pieces of luggage policy has come from provincial government, and so we have, as a client, we have to, of course, try to enforce that. What we have done, however, is tried to modify it a little bit to make it a little more user-friendly. And so of the two pieces of luggage, you can bring one piece plus a personal item, so a backpack, a purse, a computer bag, something along those lines, plus a carry-on piece of luggage. But the other piece of luggage has to be loaded into a luggage crate, which you will get you'll get your luggage out of the luggage crate when you get to your destination. Anything over and above that needs to be shipped as freight. Access control is another contentious topic. A lot of people feel that the ferry is their boat, and for years and years they've been able to come and go as they please and walk on the ship and see their family and friends who may be traveling. And we understand that and appreciate people wishing to do that. However, there are also rules and regulations that we need to comply with, and it's incredibly important that we know everyone who's on board the ship at all times. In the event that there was an emergency and we needed to evacuate the ship or abandon ship, heaven forbid, if we don't know that there are people on board, we're not going to go looking for them in the event of an emergency. And so that's why access control is particularly important. The third bullet point is a new policy, sort of a quasi-new policy. It's been sort of in the works last season, but we've been really dealing with a situation where we get construction companies that are looking to ship construction material and supplies up to the communities for various projects and so on and so forth. And we recognize that that's an important component, and when buildings are being built in the communities, that's important and so on. However, we really see that those projects should be able to, they have the means to find alternative transportation into the communities, whereas individuals, this is your essential service to get your personal belongings back and forth. And so we have identified in this policy that if any construction material shows up in excess of 2,000 pounds, it will be treated as heavy equipment, and it will be charged heavy equipment rates, which are not highly subsidized, unlike the normal ferry rates are. If it's not over 2,000 pounds, but it is too large to fit into a 20-foot container, it would also fall into that heavy equipment category and be charged at the larger rates. And that's really to discourage construction companies from trying to monopolize the space that we have available, the capacity that we have available to allow local residents the priorities. In this policy, residential freight and perishable freight, and perishable freight always takes priority anyway. But otherwise, the service has been on a first-come, first-served basis. What this new policy does is that those construction materials that fall into this category will not be served necessarily before local residents' freight. So, the provincial budget. Some or most of you may know that the North Coast Ferry Service has been impacted by the most recent provincial budget. I will start off by saying the Vancouver Marine had absolutely nothing to do with any of these decisions, and we were in fact not consulted, or we had no idea that it was coming down. So, just to try to give you some information about what the impacts are, the season has been fixed to 169 days. Previously, we were operating as the ice would allow us to, and that was usually somewhere around 180, 182 days or so. So what we see by fixing the season length to 169 days is we're potentially losing about 2 weeks of the shipping season. So where we used to be up to the first week or the middle of December, it's really going to be more around the middle to the end of November when the season is going to end. And so why that's important to people is that because it's going to end earlier than you've been used to it ending in the past, it's really important that people shipping freight make sure that they get their freight and they're paying attention to when the cutoff dates are and so on, so that we can actually ship your freight, because come day 169, the service is going to end. No ifs, ands, or buts. Whether the ice allows, whether there's no ice, and we could still be sailing, the service is going to end. So we are going to work really hard to be sharing the cutoff dates for when people can drop their freight off at our locations as much as possible. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We have a website, and we'll try to get notices out on the media as well. So some of the benefits of why, or at least what we see as being benefits for Nunatsiavut Marine to be operating the ferry service, the North Coast Ferry Service in particular, is improved safety and reliability. I'm very proud to say that last year the Northern Ranger had zero downtime for mechanical failures. We operated 100% on-time performance. There were some weather impacts, which of course are outside of our control. But as for the actual vessel's ability to operate, we had zero downtime. We're very hopeful that we'll continue on that road. I wish I could guarantee it, of course, but it's still machinery, and sometimes machinery does fail. But we're doing everything that we can to ensure that maintenance is done, preventative and planned maintenance well in advance to try to limit or minimize any of those mechanical downtimes. There's local employment. Currently, we employ, I think it's about 25 beneficiaries. We would like to employ more, but being a vessel, it's a highly regulated industry, and so you require very specific certifications to be able to sail in the higher positions. So most of the people that work for us are either wharfingers in the communities or work within the steward department or in more entry-level positions. That said, I'm very proud to say that one of our employees, who's a beneficiary, we've been working with him, and he has completed his fourth-class engineering papers, and he's moving up to be a watchkeeping engineer for us, and that's what we're really trying to do. We've also, last year, our crewing officer engaged with some of the community liaisons, and we went around. She did a bit of a tour on the Northern Ranger, and we reached out to people that have the requisite training to work with us but who have never applied for a job with our company, and we actually had some interest, and so when Susan was on the vessel, those people were able to come on, get a walk around the ship, meet some of the other employees on board, see the different departments where they could potentially work, whether it's in the engine room, in the steward department, or as a deckhand or navigator, whatever the case may be. And so we're increasing our beneficiary employment through that way. And, you know, the goal is obviously to get as many beneficiaries working within the company as we possibly can. So we're really proud of the work that we're doing to make Nunatsiavut Marine more accessible to beneficiaries. And we're working with Inuit Pathways and with the Marine Institute to be able to provide training here in the communities or take people from the communities to get trained so that they're able to work with us. Increased tourist numbers. So last year was 2015. So in 2014, the service moved about 3,600 people during the months of July and August, mid to late June through to the end of August, basically to Labor Day. In 2015, last year, we moved 4,800 people. So that was a significant increase. I'm not saying all of those people were tourists, but a lot of those people were tourists. We continue to work with the Nunatsiavut government to improve the service offering. We're looking at different programming like an artist in residence on board, the vessel, trying to find ways to facilitate tourists on board to get them to the places where they can spend money. So there may be an artist workshop in a community where they're particularly interested, trying to get them from the ship to the artist studio in a short period of time so that they can pick the artwork, spend some money, and so on and so forth. So we're looking always to improve, that offering, and it's really, technically it's not our mandate for our client, the province of Newfoundland and Labrador, but we see the value add to Nunatsiavut and the Nunatsiavut government and the communities, and so it's a real important piece for us. Community giving. We participate, Nunatsiavut Marine participates in the wood program, where we've, last year we delivered 200 cords of wood to Nain and Hopedale for low-income, single-parent households, elders, who are unable to go out and secure their own wood so that they have enough firewood to get them through the winter and so on. We're really proud of that. We also, from time to time, we've been working, and I think we're hoping to do a little bit more work with the arts and crafts to maybe ship some materials up and so on. I know we've talked about that, and certainly hopeful that we're going to do those things. But where there's an opportunity that we can help out with the community, your ordinary members certainly contact us from time to time and seek some assistance, and we're always, not unlike Air Labrador, willing to help wherever we're able to. And then access. One of the, I think, real benefits, even though there is a separation between the Nunatsiavut government and the Nunatsiavut group of companies, we see all of you, of course, as being owners of our business and being significant stakeholders, and we do our utmost to be accessible to our customers and to government officials when they contact us with concerns that their constituents have raised. We're always available to talk about it, try to work our way through those solutions and so on, and I'm not sure other companies operating the service would be necessarily as accessible as we are. So we see it being beneficial for Venancia de Marine to continue to operate the North Coast Ferry Service. We think it's in everybody's best interest. We appreciate your feedback. The only way that we can improve is if you tell us what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And so we have many different mediums with which to do that. I should have taken out, we forgot to bring feedback forms today, so I apologize for that. But I will hang around if anybody wishes to give me some feedback individually afterwards. But you can also email us at feedback@labradorferry.ca. We have a feedback link on our website, which is www.labradorferry.ca. We have a toll-free number, and we are, again, are on Facebook and Twitter, and we have a reasonably good response rate as well. Any of those mediums, please let us know what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong, and we're continually trying to improve, and all because it's really important that you as our customers and you as our stakeholders feel you're getting good value for the service here to the communities. Thank you very much.